Acts chapter number 4. Just want to read you one verse to start with, but keep your Bibles open. We're going to get several more of them. And just want to talk to you today. We're kind of coming out of summer, school starting back. Everybody's in a transition right now where life's kind of going back to normal. And you're settled into school, settling back into your routines. The fall's here. A lot of times we got more, we're getting ready to where we got more time to be back home, be in church. The Lord's kind of getting back to the forefront of our minds and a lot of things are settling down. And I want to talk to you about what you can do in your life to allow the Lord to really use you and make a difference. And whatever you're at today, whatever stage of life, whether you're lost, saved, need something from God, I believe this will apply to all of us, what Jesus can do in our lives. Notice with me, Acts chapter number 4, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." Now I love this little phrase right here. "And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Notice that phrase again there, "that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." By the help of the Lord this morning, I'd like to preach on this thought for just a little bit. Becoming the talk of the town. Becoming the talk of the town. Father, Jesus' name one more time, we ask you to help us now. God, we're well aware that we're nothing. God, we ain't real sure how we get to serve you, but we're real thankful. God, I pray today that we'd decrease and you'd increase. God, I pray today that Jesus would be high and holy and lifted up. God, may the sweet Holy Ghost have His will and way. Touch every heart and life. Help those that are needy today, God. Knowing all of us in here that we'd have that heart of good ground that the Word could fall on and cultivate in. God, may we leave saying we've heard from heaven and you've done a work in our lives. Save that lost soul. God, touch that one today that's walking at a distance. Meet with us, God, and just get glory unto yourself. We sure need you today. God, I need you. Need to hear from heaven. We'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I told you, I'm pretty sure I know where I'm at. I'm in Bowden, Georgia this morning. And I know that I'm not too far away from Atlanta. And then I guess I'm not too far away from Alabama. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I'm close to about anywhere right here, right in the middle of nowhere. And I figured out just a little bit about the town. Best I got it figured. I think everybody around here is Auburn fans. Is that right? I'm going to split the church before we even get started this morning. I had a feeling that was going to happen. And I know the rivalry pretty well. And but you know, I've thought about how, isn't it amazing, football starts in what, 2-3 weeks probably, and everybody's talking about it. My brother-in-law was Googling. I mean, I can't imagine the gigabytes he ran up this week sitting down there at vacation telling me about this game and looking at this one over here and talking about somebody over here, and all the buzz is starting. He said, "Oh, so-and-so got hurt here," and they're saying this about this team. And I mean, all day long, he was keeping me up to date on it. Why is that? Because we enjoy football. I'm a big football fan. I love to see big hits. I like to see folk get hurt. I like to see big collisions. I do. I'm like a typical country boy. And I got a feeling y'all are about the same. I enjoy football. It becomes the talk of the town, don't it? Everywhere you go, somebody's going to say, "Well, did you see how our team did Saturday?" Then you're going to say, "Well, I wish your team would have lost, and my team's better." And everybody gets to going. And for the next 3 months, it's going to be on in town. Everywhere you go, at work, school, you got your gear on. My man over here's got a Georgia shirt on where I was sitting. I said, "You a big fan?" He said, "Yeah." Then his boy said he's a Georgia Tech fan. I said, "I didn't even know y'all had a program down there." About as bad as my Duke Blue Devils. We got to book people that ain't even D1 to win some games. And we're having a big time. It's just an easy thing to talk about. And I say all that this morning to say this. I was thinking as I was putting this together and thinking about my brother-in-law, and I was thinking about this. How long's it been since Jesus in us and on us became the talk of the town? I mean, when was the last time that we had people that had so much God on them and had just so much graciousness? I was talking to a dear preacher friend of mine, Brother T.D. Burgess, and he had called me this past week, and right when my daughter got sick, and said, "I was just praying today and the Lord told me to call you." you. And boy, I had tears dripping down my face because I had just told God, walking down the beach, that I just needed somebody to call. Just felt like I didn't know if anybody else was praying, and I didn't know what was wrong with my little girl. My wife was crying, and here this old man of God, 89 years old, calls me, and he just had that tenderness from the Lord, and just talking to him on the phone. I'm talking to a legend, and I'm a nobody, just a little junior person starting out in the ministry, and here this old man of God is, and he's talking to me with such graciousness and tenderness and humility. I hung the phone up and I told my wife, I said, that's what made them so great. I said, did you hear the tone in his voice? Did you hear the heart that he had? What I'm saying is this, he's the talk of the town in my life and in my heart. Why, preacher? Because he's been with Jesus. I could tell because of how it felt talking to him. I could tell the heart that he had behind it. I could tell the spirit that was on him. Whatever happened to God's people being the kindest, most gracious, tender, loving people in the whole wide world? I'm telling you today, there's some benefits when you've been with Jesus. The Bible says that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Now hear me now, the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, it's really the hardest, easiest thing, is getting born again. My dear brother over here, boy, that thrilled my heart. Preacher told me last night, hey, you know how hard it was for you to get to that point. Then how easy it was when you said, Lord, save me. What did he do? He just saved me. There on us. And I'm glad that Jesus loves us like He does. It's the hardest, easiest thing that ever happens in your life. But the second hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, you know what it is? It's maintaining a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's not going to fight you just because you come to church. He won't fight you just because you come and sing in the choir. He won't fight you even just because you read your Bible or pray. But if somebody ever really takes knowledge of who Jesus is and they really want God to do something big in their heart and life, and you don't just pray to pray, but you pray because you believe God can hear and answer prayers and do big things. And if you read your Bible because you believe that it really is the inspired, infallible Word of God, and you believe it can change your life, Satan fears that. Hear me this morning. What scares him to death is not just the fact that we're saved and we say we're going to go to church or we're just going to love Jesus, but when you say, I want God to do something big in my life, I want folks to know that He's not just in me, but He's on me. That's what made those people great, like what I was talking about, and that's what will impact and influence your lost family, lost children, the entire town. When people begin to take notice, hear me this morning, you ain't got to tote a big coffee table Bible and put a sign on your chest for them to know that you're a Christian. When Jesus gets on you like He's in you, it changes everything about us. There's some benefits that come, and others can see them. It may be hard to walk with God this morning. Satan may fight you tooth and nail. Some of you in here are the backbone of this church, and you give your life to God, and you're fighting hell by the acre. But I come to encourage you today and to let you know it's worth serving God. It's worth walking with Jesus. We're going into the fall time of the year. It's a good time to buckle down and to gear up and strap in like you never have and say, no matter what goes on or what I got to fight or what the devil throws at me, I'm going to run closer to Calvary. I'm going to run towards God. Why? Because there's some benefits to being with Jesus. Number one this morning, I find benefit number one is this. You will harbor no other wisdom. Listen to verse 13 again. And took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now we find here that Peter and John, this is the first persecution of the church. You probably know where we're at in our Bible this morning. Acts 2's happened. The church has been birthed and empowered. We find the Holy Ghost has came and thousands have been saved on Pentecost, and now they're going from house to house. Every day they're having church and breaking bread and just going to meeting together and loving on Jesus and telling folks about how He came and how He lived, how He died, how He got up and the difference He made in their lives. Did you know that's all really witness is? Just tell somebody what Jesus has done for you, and it's spreading like wildfire, and they're healing people, and Peter's using the power that God's put on his life as an apostle in them days, and the word is spreading, and there's proofs there for the Jews. They require a sign, and God is putting His church together. But all of a sudden the season changes, and there's a shift here in the climate of the town and the culture. All of a sudden everybody ain't happy about them preaching and happy about them healing people and happy about them having church. The devil devil gets mad. He notices that this is a big deal. And all of hell comes against them. And everything begins to break loose. And the devil gets this crowd. Guess who he stirs up? He stirs up the religious crowd. Them bunch of legalistic people that hated everything about a true gospel and the true love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they get mad. It's messed up their enterprise. And everything begins to shift. And now we find here that the first persecutions are fixing to come against the church. They bring Peter and John in, and everybody's scratching their head and trying to figure them out. And here's why I love this part about you don't have to harbor any other wisdom in your life. They look at them, and here's what they tell them. They say, you can do anything, but you can't preach in the name of Jesus. They said, say anything you want to about God, religion, the Bible, whatever you want, the scrolls in them days, but just don't mention the name Jesus and anything about it. And guess what? Peter responds in the power of God and in that boldness that you can have walking with Jesus. He says, all we know is Jesus. He said, we don't have anything else to talk about. Everything in our life has just been because of Him and through Him. If we don't talk about Jesus, we don't have anything to say. And the people took knowledge of Him. And here's what they're saying. They're realizing what He's realized. They're saying, man, Peter's a fisherman. These guys are nobodies. They ain't got no education. They ain't been to this synagogue. They ain't been with this rabbi. They ain't been in this camp and they ain't been in that camp. The only thing they know and the only thing they're talking about is Jesus. What are you saying to me this morning, preacher? I realize in the building we ain't all preachers and we ain't all in the ministry, so but let me just say it this way and then we'll run it just where everybody. I miss the days when it used to be where we didn't worry about who was in what camp and we wasn't flying banners of each other and men and politic and playing religion, whatever happened to just loving Jesus and loving the Bible and loving the cross. Let me take that a step further where it applies to all of us, even beyond ministry. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you in here are moms and dads? How many of you are grandparents? How many of you's got a marriage? All of us, it begins to apply. How many young people in here, you got a lot of big decisions to make in your life about school and career and life choices and getting married. All of these things are happening in our lives. There's never been a day where we've had more education. And hear me, I'm not against school. I went to Bible college. I told you that in the beginning. I'm not against education in school. But I'm going to tell you what, whatever happened to the day where we just lifted up the Bible and said, tell me what the book says. Let me base my whole life off the book. You want to know why that old generation had so much God on them and they didn't know near what we know now. Didn't have the education that we have now. But somehow they had homes that was filled with God and joy. They had youngins that loved the Lord. They had churches that had revival. They had lives that they could build around. They may not have been smart compared to this world. They may not have known what Dr. Phil or Oprah said. They may not have had a lot of trendy knowledge, but I tell you what they did know. They had some neology in their life. They walked with God and they just buried themselves on their knees and opened the book up and said, God, I don't know how to raise a child. God, I don't know how to have a marriage. God, I don't know how to love You. God, I don't know how to be a good in my life. I don't know how to be the best witness at my job. As a young person, I don't know how to find God's will in my life, but God, I just need You. And when they looked at these boys, they didn't have any educations to apply to them. They didn't have any men to tag them to in schools. They were ignorant and unlearned men, yet they were saying things that nobody had ever said. They were doing things that nobody else had ever done from the educated world. And the only thing they could give them glory for is to say it must be Jesus and we need to glorify Him. Boy, I tell you what, this morning, the greatest desire in my life is not to be tagged with this or that, not to be known by education or this or that. You can get so much of it, it can ruin you. But I tell you what I'd like to see a revival of is opening up our King James Bibles and getting back to not just toting one, but living by one, building our homes off of it. I can't have a good marriage apart from God and the Bible and prayer. How to raise my child. I've never been a daddy before. That's my first little baby girl. But I tell you what I can do. I can bury myself up and say, God, I don't have that kind of wisdom. God, I don't know what to do. And God says, that's what I want to hear anyways. And all I got to do is run to Calvary and get close to Him. And if I'll be with Jesus and walk hand in hand with Him, there's a God that can give you wisdom this world don't know anything about. Harbor no other wisdom. I wonder, when was the last time when you had a big decision to make? You say, well, preacher, I'm dependent on God. I'm not telling God that I don't need His help. Well, let me ask you something this morning. Beyond just saying it, what does your actions say? What do my actions say?
When was the last time you just found you a quiet place somewhere and buried up and put your head between your knees, bowed before a 3 times holy God and said, God, what do you think about this? God, what should I do in this situation? God, help me in my marriage. God, touch me in raising babies. God, do something for my grandbabies. God, help me on the job. God, help me as a young person at school this fall. God, help me as I try to make decisions with all my life in front of me. You can run over here and ask this person, and you run over here, and I know it's good to have godly counsel. The Bible's clear about that. But at the end of the day, you know what Peter and John was known for? They wasn't known for who they was tagged with or what education they had pulled from. They just said the only person that could do something that supernatural in somebody's life, it have to be Jesus. When was the last time somebody looked at you and said, there ain't no way they could do that or say that on their own? They ain't got that kind of talent. It must be because God's on them. Let me illustrate it this way quickly this morning. I thought about my grandpa. He is my hero. And he's been in heaven now since 2006. October the 1st, I'll never forget it. One of the hardest days of my life. And he was the spiritual hero of our family. He is a drunk that got saved by a man that come by, and I said, told him about Jesus, and said, if this was when times was tough and back in the early days, and he said, if you'll go to church, I'll come pick you up. My grandpa went with him, and he got born again. All my family ever was just drinkers and fighters. As far as I know, there wasn't hardly any Christians, wasn't any preachers at all. My grandpa got saved and started dedicating his life to the church. And he's the one that prayed while I was in my mama's womb that I'd be a preacher. And God gave him a promise out of Jeremiah 1. For I formed thee, I ordained thee a prophet. And then nobody tell me that after answering the call to preach, he is already in heaven. He died waiting on that promise. But God honored it. And mama went in the bedroom crying. I chased after her, and she told me. When I got in there, she said, I thought your grandpa missed God. She said, but here you are coming in here tonight. She said, I'm just torn up. And that's that. But here's what I'm saying. Did you know my grandpa had a third grade education? He couldn't read or write. Grandma had to sign his checks for him at the end of the week. He worked with his hands all his life. He grew up on a farm. He's about 6'2", and his hands was as big as my head. He'd just swallow me. My grandpa worked hard every day of his life till he died with cancer. He couldn't even sign his own checks. Mama had to write it all out and put it all together for him. He just worked hard. But I tell you what, every Sunday morning we had old shotgun style brick church like they used to build with the columns on the front. Center aisle, left hand side of that center section, second row. Now I ain't saying it's wrong to not go to church, and I just took a vacation. I'm just telling you the kind of man that he was. He'd tell us, he said, now boys, I don't know what kind of vacation y'all got at work, but I don't care what it is, I'm going to be in church on Sunday. I'll come with you during the week. He said, my preacher's going to need me on Sunday. That's just his heart. Second row, left hand side, I promise you, unless he is in the hospital with an IV, he's going to be sitting right there. Boy, he'd get to shouting and crying in church and get to praying for the preacher. My whole childhood, he probably never thought I was paying attention, but I was watching Grandpa. When I got right with God, you know what the Holy Ghost used? I've been hurt in church. My church had about, my pastor left, half the people lost their mind. They broke out in fights in the parking lot, arguing over being old time or going contemporary, and everything blew apart. And the devil was wrecking my mind as a teenager, saying they're all phony, they're all fake. But guess what the Holy Ghost reminded me of? He said, if that's the case, he said, you explain Carl Williams, your papa on that second row. And there was a wisdom that he had when he would just stand. I remember men coming to him sometimes and saying, I don't think the preacher's right. You think we ought to go against him. You think we got the right one. You think we ought to do this or do that. And my grandpa just had that way. He didn't beat his chest, because usually if you really are the kind of man that knows what you believe and you're settled in it, you don't have to roar very loud, because you ain't worried about nobody pushing you around. And he just quietly stepped up and he said, well, men, y'all can do whatever you want to. He said, my preacher's in that book. And as long as he's by the book and he's a man of God to this church, I'm going to stand with him. And it was like the whole room just...
He couldn't tell you about geometry, geology. He couldn't even spell nothing, tell you much anything. When he taught Sunday school, Grandma had to help him to memorize the verses so he'd know what to even say. And he'd get up and then he'd just tell about Jesus. And I'd just see as God would move on him. I'm talking about some wisdom that you can't find down here at the school. And you can't find it in some book or on a TV show. But I will tell you this, no matter who you are and how you're wired up this morning, whether you need to read or write, all of us have got a God that we can walk with. And when you get close to Him, there's some wisdom that God can put in you and through you in church and through the Word of God and on your knees that can change everything about your life. If you need something today, there's a God that can give it to you and leave you a legacy long after you're gone that's bigger than anything that you could do on your own. Number two today, I find harbor no other wisdom, but number two, you'll have no other worry. Listen to verse number 21. Bible says it like this, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Have no other worry. Benefit number one today is you don't have to harbor and look for any other wisdom. Whatever you need, God will give it to you. But number two, boy, I'm glad for this one. You don't have to have any other worries. You say, what do you mean? I told you the climate has shifted in this town and in this culture, in this region. And all of a sudden, men that were used to everybody being okay with them and their life wasn't on the line and it was easy to be a Christian. You got to admit today, I know it may not be the America that we hope it is, but it's pretty easy to be a Christian in this country. Worst thing you might ever encounter is somebody just laughing at you a little bit for being saved, not doing what they do. It's pretty easy in these days, but all of a sudden, everything blows apart. And now these men are dragged into the city square. Thousands probably are gathered around. And these men are looking at them and saying, these men have all authority now. They whip them. They punish them. They put them in jail. And they're looking at these men and they're saying, we've had enough of this. We're tired of this Jesus business. And they begin to threaten them. And those men say, yeah, but all we know is Jesus, as I told you. And they said, we don't have any other wisdom. We're just simple folks. We're just average running the mill, but Jesus has made the difference. Then the Bible says these words, don't miss it. When they had further threatened them. Further threatened them. In other words, they turned the heat up. And they said, they start roaring. Can you hear them? As all them people are standing around me. Don't just read it like it's black words on white paper. These are real people. In real scenarios. Imagine how you would feel. These men with all this authority are looking at you and saying, I'm telling you, you better not mention it again. We're going to get a hold of you. We're not playing games with you. And they're coming out. Can you imagine the race in their heart? And the devil's saying, you better quit. You better back up. Some of these men probably had families. Children. The greatest ways that the devil works on us is not in me. You better back up. You better not pray for that. You better not try to let God take you to this kind of scenario or pray to this point where God puts this on you or pray for these people and God gives this big answer. Because I'm going to do this to your wife or I'll go after your babies and they'll never want to serve God and they'll do this. All them fears and all these men are looking around. They're saying, well, I got a family and what they might do to my babies or what about this over here? And all this is running through their mind. But watch this now. They had been with Jesus. That's the whole key. And I keep repeating that because I want that to marinate in your heart. It's important that you've been with God. All the rest of these benefits, you've got to be with God. They had made their choice. They had walked with the Lord. Watch this now. And in this story, now they look at him. Peter's mind was made up long before he ever come to the point. If you wait until the devil comes to your house and starts ripping and ranting and pushing against you with all that pressure, if you're waiting until then to decide if you're going to pray any at all or decide if you're going to serve God, you done lost. Long before this ever came, Peter done decided Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to him. Whatever it cost him, he's going to honor his Lord and serve him. And there they stand. And all them people are gathered around him. They'd further threaten him. Peter looked at him and said,
look, y'all do whatever you want to do. I just see him with a calmness. Because I've learned that any time I'm walking with God, there's a calmness on the inside. And any time I ain't been walking with, I'm just a transparent preacher. I just tell you like it is. I ain't gonna blow smoke at you and act like I'm always put together. And ain't never got no problems. That ain't real. I'm just like you are. But I tell you what I know is when I ain't been walking with God just like I should be, and I've gotten too busy to pray as much as I should, or hadn't quite been in that book because things happen and we all get pulled in 100 directions, I can always tell that calmness is gone. That peace and that power and all that the God puts in us is gone. But I tell you what, these boys had been with God and they was prepared. And they looked at him with just a calmness, almost with a tenderness. Said, listen, we're not against y'all. Just like the Lord was gracious, they said, but we're going to tell you the truth. You do whatever you want to do, but we're going to stand for Jesus. All we ever know is the Lord. About that time, them boys get to looking, they said, this ain't affecting them at all. The Bible says when they further threatened them, they let them go. Because they couldn't do nothing to them. Can I say something to you today? I know that the devil's greater than we are. But I'm afraid a whole lot of times we forget that the Bible still has a verse in there that says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you know we serve a big God today? You do remember that the devil can't do anything unless God lets him. God's not up in heaven biting his fingernails trying to figure out, now if the devil does this, how am I going to help my people? And if the devil does this down at Liberty Baptist, what am I going to do for them? And in your family or your children or in this scenario, how am I going to fix all this? Oh, no. There's a God who has every bit of your life under His control. And if you're born again by the grace of God, there's some benefits to coming and being close to Him. And there's a God that says all things work together for them that are called and love Him and are dedicated to Him. There's a God that's putting all this together. And yes, He lets the devil do things. And yes, He lets things happen to you in this world. But the greatest news is this. There's a God who's working it all together for good. And when you're walking close to Him like these boys, they said, do whatever you want to do. We may not understand it. We may have never saw this coming. But we know that our God's not going to leave us nor forsake us. There's no need in worrying. I can just plant my feet and say, I'm still holding on and trusting the God. There's a God who knows where I'm at. There's a God who's got to something and has something for me in this scenario. And when they looked at Him and told Him that, guess what? They couldn't do anything to them. One old preacher said it like this. He said, if you could give me a group of people that fear nothing but God and sin, we could turn the world upside down. So many of us today, myself included, I just dealt with my little girl this week, and when that started happening, you know what I did? I started pacing around the floor and I started getting all nervous, and my wife is crying and I'm thinking, this is messing up vacation. It's ruining her family's trip. We don't see them that much. My wife's upset and I'm doing all these things and the devil's saying something bad's going to happen and all this is going on. And then all of a sudden it clicked. It was like the Lord got me calm for just a moment where I could hear Him. He said, why don't you just pray about this? Why don't you quit trying to Google everything and figure out this and try to make everybody happy? Why don't you just slip off somewhere and ask me to help you? And ask me to do something in this situation. Boy, it didn't take about 10 minutes of walking down that beach. And all of a sudden, the Lord just sat down beside me. He said, Heath. He said, wasn't I there when I saved you as a 7-year-old boy at Vacation Bible School? I said, well, yeah, Lord. He said, wasn't I there when I called you to preach at 11? I said, well, yeah, Lord. He said, got hurt at church and you was out for a couple of years and you was living under conviction and I was chasing you down and you was running. I said, Lord, I remember all that. I was a miserable person. That's one of the reasons I knew I was saved, because God wouldn't let up on me. He said, wasn't I there? He said, wasn't I there when I wrapped my loving arms around you and forgave you? You came back to church. Then you answered the call to preach. And he went on and on and on through all the scenarios. He said, wasn't I there? I said, well, yeah, Lord. And I said, God, He said, if I've been faithful and everything else, He said, why don't you just give it to me? Why is it we run to everything else and worry about it and lay awake at night to the point that our mind won't shut off, or with our jittering mess, our hearts are racing, anxiety's through the roof. The devil knows what he's doing in this day. the battlefield's not physical anymore, it's mental. And He's coming after us. And every time you just say, you know what, I'm going to get behind my preacher at church, and this fall I'm going to help with this, and I'm going to work with this club over here, and I'm going to help with the children over here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get in there and pray, and I'm going to believe God, or I want to see this in my home, or this with my children, or I got somebody who needs to be saved, and I'm going to grab a hold and ask God to do it. And the devil says, you remember what happened the last time? You said you was going to go closer with God. You say, Lord, all that stuff happened, and all this fear is running. Do you realize this morning all the devil can do is bark? Put it in these terms, sort of like a bee. He's lost his stinger at Calvary. All he can do is buzz a whole lot. He's a dog that's on a leash this morning. And if we could ever just slow down long enough to call a timeout, and instead of trying to get everybody else to do everything for us, when was the last time you just buried up them girls saying it's so good? Why should I worry? Why should I fear when this very same Jesus is always near? We just bury up and say, Lord, I can't. God, my marriage ain't just what it should be. God, this for my children, my grandchildren are breaking my heart. I got this in my own life. I got a sin trouble. You may be here today and you've looked for joy and everything else you can find, and you can't seem to find that void to be filled, and nothing's making you happy. And you might be like my buddy over here, and everything's just pulling at you and you can't handle it anymore. I don't care whether you need to be saved today, whether you need to get some things right, or whether you just need God to settle some things in your life and push the devil out. I'm glad there's a God that when you come in His direction, He's already running in yours. And there's some benefits to being with Jesus. Let me just tell you this one quickly and I'm done. I find thirdly, the third benefit is you can hunger for no other well. Listen to verse number 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Hunger for no other well. These old boys, they had wisdom beyond themselves. And then they found out that any time you call on the Lord, He can cease all your worries and stresses. And all your world could be spinning in chaos on the outside, and you'd have peace on the inside. Aren't you glad for a God that does a whole lot more for us than just save us? And then thirdly, they found out that there ain't nothing in this life that can give you the joy that you can find walking with Jesus. Now hear me, God ain't against you having stuff. He's against stuff having us. But it's all right to be blessed. God wants to bless His people. I'm glad for everything you've got. I'm glad that there's a God that's that good to us when we don't deserve it. And I hope He gives you a whole lot more. I believe it's wonderful. And this scenario here, this was an unusual time. God's not asking you to sell everything you got to prove you love Him and take a vow of poverty and mess up, wind up wrecking your family and everything else. People's tried that before. That ain't what it's saying. Here's what it's saying. They were so filled with Jesus and the joy in this revival season that they said, all we care about is the Lord. It was setting a principle of how you ought to live your life. Can I say this to you today? You'll never really know what true joy is. True joy, happiness. You'll never know what it's like to have the best marriage you can have, the best family bonds you can have, until you start living your life for God instead of things. I remember growing up, and my daddy was as hardworking man as you ever met in your life. And my mama was bad sick for a while and went through some stuff. She had found my grandpa on her side of the family, not the one I was telling you about earlier, but he had been electrocuted and it messed my mom's mind. There's a lot of things went on in our family. My dad had to work all the time just to keep us afloat. And I remember many times my dad would bring stuff home, like a new ball glove, new pair of shoes to play baseball in, or say, I got you some lessons over here, son. We're going to go tonight and let them teach you some more about hitting. And I appreciate them things because we didn't have a whole bunch growing up, and my daddy always made sure that if he wore wore out shoes, that we was going to be able to have what we could. And I love my daddy, and he's my best friend. But I remember thinking many times, brother, I get that ball glove, preacher. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm glad for a new glove, but I'd rather just have my daddy home more. spend more time together than have that glove. And you hear me this morning. A whole lot of times we think, man, if I could just get this, I'd be happy. If I could just get this, I'm sure my wife would think better of me. If I could just pull this stuff in, and we all know the pressures of life and trying to always get things. Everybody else seems like they got stuff, and you want it. You want your children, your family to have the best, and you're pulling over here, and the devil keeps us running around in circles. But can I tell you something this morning? When you walk with God, that's the greatest thing you could ever do for your family. The fact that you're in church today, and your youngins see you as a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife, you've come to church and you're hearing the preached word of God. You may not be able to give them everything this world can give them, but I'm glad you can give them something that's a whole lot better. And it's a hunger that you don't ever get, or it's a well that you never have to hunger for again. There's a God that can give you a satisfaction and a peace. When life's over, it's not going to matter what you have, but it will matter what they have. Have you left that kind of legacy where they look at you and they look and they say, boy, I tell you what, they may not have had much, but I'm going to tell you what, they knew God, and God made the difference in their life. And when you're peeling your head for the last time in life, if you can look up and be able to say this, my family's saved. I got them around God. I showed them what a real Christian life was. They're going to meet me in heaven someday. That's the greatest thing that can ever happen in your life. Hear me this morning. Many times you think, I just need this and I just need that. But you know what God's saying? He's saying almost like what I said about my daddy in that ball glove. He's saying, you don't need stuff. You just need more time with me. Look at Hollywood and sports stars. People from all across spectrums. None of them's happy. You think, just one more of this. Just if I could just get over here. Maybe just got to have some of this. They need this. But I'm telling you this morning, if life ain't just what you was hoping it was going to be, if you're in a tough season, if you're in that darkness, if you feel like nothing's just making you... There was a day you said, man, I used to be so happy. I used to look forward to coming to church. I used to be excited about hearing what my pastor was going to say, seeing who was going to sing, just loving Jesus. And all of a sudden you say, it just ain't like it used to be. Things just ain't like they used to be at home. Things just ain't like they used to be at church. Things just ain't like it used to be when it was just me and God riding down the road together. I tell you what you can do. It ain't a lack of something in this world. It ain't a lack of a blessing that somebody else has got that you don't have. And you say, if I was just like them, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. None of that stuff. It's just like grains of sand. It slides through. But if you'd slide in at Calvary on your knees and crawl up close to God and just pour your heart out to Him, tell Him what's on your heart, tell Him where you're at and what you need, and saying, God, I may not even know what the answers are. Many times, you know what I like to pray? God, I don't even know what to ask for. I'm just asking You to help me, and You know what's best, and that's what I want. You'll find there's a God. That even if all your circumstances don't change right away, there's a God that'll pull you in close. He can give you some calm and some peace in the midst of the storm. He can help you today. You know how I know that God wants to help some people today? Because boy, I feel that fight on the inside of me. The devil hates stuff like this because it's where the victory's at. It's where God can really make the difference inside your life. Preacher, is it okay if somebody comes and plays, whoever comes and gets us a song this morning for invitation? Let me just share this quick little illustration story with you from my life while she's coming. I never forget my daddy's best friend. His name was Grant. I always looked up to Grant. He is a big hunter, and I grew up going hunting and fishing, and he had always just seemed like he killed the biggest deer, and my dad always killed the best turkeys. I always wanted to get around him and be like him. I always looked up to him. But I remember as I got right with God, the Lord called me to preach. I knew that there was some things wrong in Grant's life. I could tell that he wasn't walking with God, and I didn't know if he was saved or not. And the Lord started putting a burden on my heart for him. And I remember one day my daddy called me crying. And he finally got where he could get his words out. And he said, it's Grant. He said, he just left the doctor and called me. He's got cancer. He said, it's bad. It's bad. And I remember going to see him at that hospital. And him just trying to hold it together. And he said, man, I want you to pray for me. He said, I ain't been living like I should. I know I'm saved. And we went through it all. He said, I want you to pray for me. And I remember we went to praying, and he had gotten bad hurt in church, and he was bitter about all of it. As a new Christian, he had gotten hurt, and it was a real bad scenario. And I said, Grant, you need to get in church. I said, I believe God will do something for you. He can use you and give you a testimony if you get in church. He acknowledged it. And I remember us started going to church some, preaching doctor's reports come back good. And they was able to take some of it out, and it looked like everything was going fine. He just got right back into his routine of working hard and making money. I'm talking about a man that had a mountain cabin, a big old farm up next to where I live, had everything they wanted, had rental houses, probably over $1 million in the bank. I'm just talking about a man that worked hard, and American dream. He went right back into his rut. Wasn't long, Daddy caught me. Maybe 6 months it went by, and he said, it's Grant. And he said, the doctors have found it now in all kind of places, and there ain't really nothing they can do for him. Only 50 years old. Said, they're going to give him some kind of new wild chemo pill that maybe will give him 6 months. Said, they're going to put it in his IV tomorrow morning. He said, you might want to go by. He said, I can't go. He said, I'm torn out of the frame. He's bawling. My daddy is just his best friend. They're like brothers. I said, I'll do what I can. I stayed up all night asking God what to tell him. I remembered something I learned in college. Lord reminded me and said, you don't need to try to give him no answers. You just need to love on him. And I went up there and I was going to try to be a blessing to him, but he changed my life that day. And I'm going to tell you what he told me. We'll let her sing this morning. I walked in there, he sat with that IV in his arm, his little old wife sitting beside him, her eyes swole up. That's real ministry. That's real Christian living. Walking in, trying to help people like that, and I'm looking at him, my heart's racing, I'm thinking, oh God, I gotta try to hold it together. And there he sat. And I remember trying to talk to him a little bit, and he kind of interrupted me, and he said, Heath, he said, it's gonna be alright. He said, I'm not upset at the Lord. He said, I didn't do what the Lord told me to. He said, I know why I'm here. He said, I've come to peace with God. Asked the Lord to forgive me. He said, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. He said, matter of fact, I want me and you to talk a whole lot about that in the next few days. He said, now that I know I'm fixing to go, he said, kindly want to know more about where I'm headed. And I said, boy, we can do that. And then he looked at me and here's what he said. He said, He said, you know all about me. He always called me Heath Man. He said, Heath Man, he said, you know what I own. You know how hard I've worked. He said, you know what I've got and all these things. He said, but sitting here in this cancer ward in this little cubicle getting this IV treatment, he said, no, none of that stuff matter no more. He said, it's actually a burden because now I'm trying to figure out how to get it all in line so that it don't overwhelm my wife when I die. He said, it's really just a burden and a hassle. He said, but I'm going to tell you what life's really all about. He said, it's all about Him. He said, I wish I'd have loved Him more. I wish I'd have spent more time with Him since I'm fixing to spend an eternity with Him. He said, ain't nobody as a blessed man as I am. He said, I wish I'd have just realized that people's just people. And I wasn't going to church for them. I wish I'd have went for Him. I wish I'd have raised my family for Him. He said, I'm so busy trying to give them things. He said, I never gave them the real thing. He said, I never gave them Jesus. He said, now here I sit in this cancer ward. He said, my son's on drugs and alcohol. He said, we got a shaky relationship at best. He said, my wife over here, he said, I've really not spent the time with her that I should. Took her the places that we should have went together. Done the things we should have done. He said, I was too busy making dollars. And worrying about giving them things instead of giving us each other. He said, but boy, when it comes down to this, he said, what would I be without her? He said, who else would drive me to hospitals and give me baths because I'm too weak to bathe myself? Boy, big old tears running down his face. He said, that's what life's really all about, him and them. He said, they all that really matter. He said, that little wife of yours at home, that lets you run the roads and be gone at night and go with you to all these meetings. He said, you better love her. He said, there's going to come a day that all you're going to have is him and them. Boy, by this time, I'm under plumb conviction. I'm looking for an altar somewhere in the hospital. Here's a statement he made to me that I've tried to build my life around. He said, Heath, man, he said, don't wait till you're 50 years old with an IV in your arm to find out how to really live. He said, start living now. He said, while you got health, while God's given you the blessing of life and living, he said, learn how to really live. He said, make sure you put your children in church and never get them away from it. He said, don't you back up. You go forward for God, son. He said, because one day you may not have much to show. He said, but if they know Jesus and they know how to be with Jesus and they know how to have God on them and they know how to worship and they know what the Holy Ghost is, he said, that'll be a life well lived, son. He said, I've had it all. He said, I'd give everything right now if I could just go back and start over with my youngins in church and my family around an altar, me and my wife. He said, don't wait till now to where I'm at to get serious about God. I wonder today, have you been with Jesus? I'm wondering, have you really started living yet? You may be 75 or you may be 5 in the building, but it's never too late and it's never too early to start really living for God. Wouldn't it be good this morning if we was just to say, Lord, as we get back into the routine of the year, I want to do something different and I want to make you everything in our life. Build our home, our marriage, our children. If you're an elderly person in a building, you say, Lord, whatever days I got left, I want to give them to you and I want to dedicate them to you and I want to beg you to do something in my family over my burdens and my needs. Wherever you're at in life, don't wait till it's nearly too late to start living for Jesus. He started praying with an IV in his arm. I said, Grant, we can't fix the past, but we can fix from now on. I said, our prayers is the only thing in the Bible we meet again according to Revelation. They're bottled up. I said, let's just believe God right now. And I've seen several already get right with God since he died and we buried him a couple years ago. I'm glad for a God that can do it at the end. But it's a whole lot better to start right where you at in the beginning and walk with God. I don't care what this world says, I'm telling you, there's no life like living for Jesus. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll settle the worries. He can fill you so much that you don't have to hunger for anything out here. Everything you need, you can find it in here and you can find it on your knees. She plays, sings, whatever she wants to do this morning. Why don't we just stand all over the building? Why don't you mind the Lord? Maybe it'd be a good day, Daddy. Just bring your family down to the altar. We show them how to do everything else. Why don't we show them how to get a hold of God? Maybe you want to just come by yourself this morning. Maybe you're a young person. Want to dedicate your life to God and ask God to show you His will for your life.